I, Paul, beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we do this? How do we present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God? What does that mean? What does that look like? How do we not be conformed to this world? How do we get transformed in our inner man by the renewing of our mind? Listen in as we unpack these verses today. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is July 29th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, and from the King James for the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah. Numbers 33, 1-56. These were the marches of the Israelites who started out from the land of Egypt, troop by troop, and in the charge of Moses and Aaron. Moses recorded the starting points of their various marches as directed by Hashem. Their marches by starting points were as follows. They set out from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month. It was on the morrow of the Pesach offering that the Israelites started out defiantly, in plain view of all the Egyptians. The Egyptians, meanwhile, were burying those among them whom Hashem had struck down, every firstborn, whereby Hashem executed judgment on their gods. The Israelites set out from Ramesses and encamped at Sukkot. They set out from Sukkot and encamped at Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. They set out from Etham and turned about toward Pi Hahiroth, which faces Baal Zephon, and they encamped before Migdal. They set up from Pani Hahiroth and passed through the sea into the wilderness, and they made a 3 days journey in the wilderness of Etham and encamped at Marah. They set up from Marah and came to Elam. There were 12 springs in Elam and 70 palm trees, so they encamped there. They set up from Elam and encamped by the Sea of Reeds. They set out from the Sea of Reeds and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. They set out from the wilderness of Sin and encamped at Dafka. They set out from Dafka and encamped at Alush. They set out from Alush and encamped at Rephidim. It was there that the people had no water to drink. They set out from Rephidim and encamped in the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from the wilderness of Sinai and encamped at Kibroth Hattaavah. They set out from Kibroth Hattaavah and encamped at Hazeroth. They set out from Hazeroth and encamped at Rithmah. They set out from Rithmah and encamped at Ramon Perez. They set out from Ramon Perez and encamped at Libna. They set out from Libna and encamped at Rissa. They set out from Rissa and encamped at Kehiloth. They set out from Kehiloth and encamped at Mount Shefer. They set out from Mount Shefer and encamped at Haradah. They set out from Haradah and encamped at Makiloth. They set out from Makiloth and encamped at Tehath. They set out from Tehath and encamped at Tera. They set out from Tera and encamped at Mikthah. They set out from Mithkah and encamped at Hashmona. They set out from Hashmona and encamped at Maserah. They set out from Maserah and encamped at Beni Jakin. They set out from Beni Jakin and encamped at Hor Haggidah. They set out from Hor Haggidah and encamped at Jotbath. They set out from Jotbath and encamped at Abrona. They set out from Abrona and encamped at Ezion Geber. They set out from Ezion Geber and encamped in the wilderness of Zin, that is Kadesh. They set out from Kadesh and encamped at Mount Hor on the edge of the land of Edom. Aaron the Kohen ascended Mount Hor at the command of Hashem and died there in the 40th year after the Israelites had left the land of Egypt on the first day of the fifth month. Aaron was 123 years old when he died on Mount Hor. And the Canaanite, king of Arad, who dwelt in the Negev in the land of Canaan, learned of the coming of the Israelites. They set out from Mount Hor and encamped at Zalmona. They set out from Zalmona and encamped at Punon. They set out from Punon and encamped at Oboth. They set out from Oboth and encamped at Ai Abiram in the territory of Moab. They set out from Eam and encamped at Dibon Gad. They set out from Dibon Gad and encamped at Almon Diblatham. They set out from Almon Diblatham and encamped in the hills of Abiram before Nebo. They set out from the hills of Abiram and encamped in the steppes of Moab at the Jordan near Jericho. They encamped by the Jordan from Beth Jeshimoth as far as Abel Shittim in the steppes of Moab. In the steppes of Moab at the Jordan near Jericho, Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to B'nai Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, you shall dispossess all the inhabitants of the land. You shall destroy all their figured objects. You shall destroy all their molten images, and you shall demolish all their cult places. And you shall take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have assigned the land to you to possess. You shall apportion the land among yourselves by lot, clan by clan, with larger groups increase the share, and with smaller groups reduce the share. Wherever the lot falls for anyone, that shall be his. You shall have your portions according to your ancestral tribes. But if you do not dispossess the inhabitants of the land, those whom you allow to remain shall be stings in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land in which you live, so that I will do to you what I plan to do to them." Second Chronicles 24:1-25:28. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. All the days of the Kohen Jehoiada, Joash did what was pleasing to Hashem. Jehoiada took two wives for him, by whom he had sons and daughters. Afterward, Joash decided to renovate the house of Hashem. He assembled the Kohanim and the Leviim and charged them as follows: "Go out to the towns of Judah and collect money from all Israel for the annual repair of the house of your God. Do it quickly." But the Leviim did not act quickly. The king summoned Jehoiada the chief and said to him, "Why have you not seen to it that the Leviim brought the tax imposed by Moses, the servant of Hashem, and the congregation of Israel from Judah and Jerusalem to the tent of the pact? For the children of the wicked Ataliah had violated the house of Hashem, and had even used the sacred things of the house of Hashem for the Baals." The king ordered that a chest be made and placed on the outside of the gate of the house of Hashem. A proclamation was issued in Judah and Jerusalem to bring the tax imposed on Israel in the wilderness by Moses, the servant of Hashem. All the officers and the people gladly brought it and threw it into the chest until it was full. Whenever the chest was brought to the royal officers by the Leviim, and they saw that it contained much money, the royal scribe and the agent of the chief Kohen came and emptied out the chest and carried it back to its place. They did this day by day, and much money was collected. The king and Jehoiada delivered the money to those who oversaw the tasks connected with the work of the house of Hashem. They hired masons and carpenters to renovate the house of Hashem, as well as craftsmen in iron and bronze to repair the house of Hashem. The overseers did their work. Under them, the work went well, and they restored the house of Hashem to its original form and repaired it. When they had finished, they brought the money that was left over to the king and Jehoiada. It was made into utensils for the house of Hashem, service vessels, buckets and ladles, golden and silver vessels, Burnt offerings were offered up regularly in the house of Hashem all the days of Yehoyada. Yehoyada reached a ripe old age and died. He was 130 years old at his death. They buried him in the city of David together with the kings because he had done good in Israel and on behalf of Hashem and his house. But after the death of Yehoyada, the officers of Judah came, bowing low to the king, and the king listened to them. They forsook the house of God of their fathers to serve the sacred posts and idols, and there was wrath upon Judah and Jerusalem because of this guilt of theirs. Hashem sent Nevi'im among them to bring them back to him. They admonished them, but they would not pay heed. Then the spirit of Hashem enveloped Zechariah, son of Yehoyada the Kohen. He stood above the people and said to them, "Thus Hashem said, why do you transgress the commandments of Hashem when you cannot succeed? Since you have forsaken Hashem, he has forsaken you." They conspired against him and pelted him with stones in the court of the house of Hashem by order of the king. King Joash disregarded the loyalty that his father Yehoyada had shown to him and killed his son. As he was dying, he said, "May Hashem see and requite it." At the turn of the year, the army of Aram marched against him. They invaded Judah and Jerusalem and wiped out all the officers of the people from among the people and sent all the booty they took to the king of Damascus. The invading army of Aram had come with but a few men, but Hashem delivered a very large army into their hands because they had forsaken God of their fathers. They inflicted punishments on Joash. When they withdrew, having left him with many wounds, his courtiers plotted against him because of the murder of the sons of Yehoyada the Kohen, and they killed him in his bed. He died and was buried in the city of David. He was not buried in the tombs of the kings. These were the men who conspired against him: Zabad, son of Shimeath, the Ammonites, and Jehozabad, son of Shimrith, the Moabites. As to his sons and the many pronouncements against him and his rebuilding of the house of Hashem, they are recorded in the story in the book of the kings. His son Amatziah succeeded him as king. Amatziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing to Hashem, but not with a whole heart. Once he had the kingdom firmly under control, he executed the courtiers who had assassinated his father, the king. But he did not put their children to death. He acted in accordance with what is written in the teaching in the book of Moses, where Hashem commanded, "Parents shall not die for children, nor shall children die for parents, but every person shall die only for his own crime." Amatziah assembled the men of Judah, and he put all the men of Judah and Benjamin under officers of thousands and officers of hundreds by clans. He mustered them from the age of 20 upward and found them to be 300,000 picked men fit for service, able to bear spear and shield. He hired 100,000 warriors from Israel for 100 kikarim of silver. Then a man of Hashem came to him and said, "O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for Hashem is not with Israel, all these Ephraimites, but go by yourself and do it. Take courage for battle, else Hashem will make you fall before the enemy, for in Hashem there is power to help one or make one fall." Amatziah said to the man of Hashem, "And what am I to do about the 100 kikarim I gave for the Israelite force?" The man of Hashem replied, "Hashem has the means to give you much more than that." So Amatziah detached the force that came to him from Ephraim, ordering them to go back to their place. They were greatly enraged against Judah and returned to their place in a rage. Amatsia took courage, and leading his army, he marched to the Valley of Salt. He slew 10,000 men of Seir, another 10,000 the men of Judah captured alive and brought to the top of Selah. They threw them down from the top of Selah, and every one of them was burst open. The men of the force that Amatsia had sent back so they would not go with him into battle made forays against the towns of Judah from Shomron to Beth Horon. They slew 3,000 of them and took much booty. After Amatsia returned from defeating the Edomites, he had the gods of the men of Seir brought and installed them as his gods. He prostrated himself before them, and to them he made sacrifice. Hashem was enraged at Amatsia and sent a Navi to him who said to him, "Why are you worshiping the gods of a people who could not save their people from you?" As he spoke to him, Amatsia said to him, "Have we appointed you a counselor to the king? Stop, else you will be killed." The Navi stopped, saying, "I see Hashem has counseled you that you be destroyed, since you act this way and disregard my counsel." Then King Amatsia of Judah took counsel and sent this message to Joash, son of Jehoiakaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, "Come, let us confront each other." King Joash of Israel sent back this message to King Amatsia of Judah. "The thistle in Lebanon sent this message to the cedar in Lebanon. Give your daughter to my son in marriage." But a wild beast in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. "You boast that you have defeated the Edomites and you are ambitious to get more glory. Now stay at home, lest provoking disaster you fall, dragging Judah down with you." But Amatsia paid no heed. It was Hashem's doing in order to deliver them up, because they worshiped the gods of Edom. King Joash of Israel marched up, and he and King Amatsia of Judah confronted each other at Bet Shemesh in Judah. The men of Judah were routed by Israel, and they all fled to their homes. King Joash of Israel captured Amatsia, son of Joash, son of Jehoiakaz, king of Judah, in Bet Shemesh. He brought him to Jerusalem and made a breach of 400 amot in the wall of Jerusalem, from the Ephraim gate to the corner gate. Then, with all the gold and silver and all the utensils that were to be found in the house of Hashem, in the custody of Obed-Edom, and with the treasuries of the royal palace, and with the hostages, he returned to Samaria. King Amatsia, son of Joash of Jehudah, lived 15 years after the death of King Joash, son of Jehoiakaz of Israel. The other events of Amatsia's reign, early and late, are recorded in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. From the time that Amatsia turned from following Hashem, a conspiracy was formed against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent men after him to Lachish, and they put him to death there. They brought his body back on horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Romans 12:1-21. "I, Paul, beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Psalm 22, 19 to 31. But be not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for you have heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise you. You that fear the Lord, praise him. All you seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all you the seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hidden his face from him, but when he cries to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness to a people that shall be born, that he has done this. Proverbs 20:8-10. A king that sits in the throne of judgment scatters away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, "I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin"? Various weights and various measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Numbers chapter 33, and then we're going to jump into Romans chapter 12. And the last few verses that conclude the chapter from Numbers read as follows. And you shall take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have assigned the land to you to possess. You shall apportion the land among yourselves by lot, clan by clan, with larger groups increasing the share, with smaller groups reducing the share. Wherever the lot falls for anyone, that shall be his. You shall have your portions according to your ancestral tribes. The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. This verse is the source for the biblical command to settle and inhabit the land of Israel. It emphasizes the importance of living in the land and, according to many, hints to a prohibition of leaving Israel without a compelling reason. As Numbers comes to a close, the people are on the verge of entering the promised land and fulfilling these words. They would remain in the land for hundreds of years, but sin and transgression eventually led to their exile. For centuries, the Jewish people yearned to return and resettle their land. While over the centuries, some individuals were able to fulfill these dreams, the founding of the State of Israel in May of 1948 made it possible for any Jew who wishes to return to come and settle in their homeland. Today, there are approximately 6 million Jews and 8 million total residents in Israel. How fortunate we are to live in a time when the land of Israel is so accessible to all. And so we also see today warfare going on in the Middle East, and Israel is at war on seven fronts. By and large, Hezbollah has been decimated, but the war with Hamas drags on in the Gaza Strip. By and large, the nuclear capabilities of Iran has been taken out, but nevertheless, the evil regime of the Ayatollah Khomeini is still in place. And unless there's a significant change in that regime, they still have evil intentions to wipe Israel off the map. Yet we see here in the Bible the ancient presence of the Jewish people in the land, and that this land grant was granted to them by God himself. They are not occupiers. They are not committing genocide. They are defending themselves against murderers and rapists and killers. This land is an ancient land grant granted to the Jewish people by God himself. Now I want to jump into Romans chapter 12. And I want to unpack the first couple of verses. Starting in verse 1, I, Paul, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does that really mean, and how do I apply that to my life? How do I become a living sacrifice? Basically, when we dedicate ourselves to following the Lord, to following Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, we don't just say, Lord, you can have my hands, but I'm going to keep my feet. Or, Lord, I'm going to give you some of my thought life, but there's other parts of my thought life that I'm just going to go ahead and keep that part to myself. Or, Lord, I'm going to give you some of my emotions, but not all of my emotions. Or, Lord, I'm going to give you my ears, but I'm going to keep my mouth. I'm going to say whatever I feel like saying. Or, Lord, I'm going to give you 75% of my heart, but the other 25% I'm going to keep. We're all in. We're called to be all in. Think about Abraham when he offered up Isaac, his one and only son, on the altar. Isaac did not say, oh Lord, you can burn up half of me, but the other half I want to live. He was all in. He yielded. He surrendered. It's 100%. It's all or nothing. And so we are to give him our dreams, our desires, our plans for the future, our hopes, our spouse, our career, our finances, our family. We're to give him everything. Give it all unto him and say, Lord, may your will be done in my life. And when we do that, when we are all in, that's when he does show us his perfect will. That's when he will give us divine assignments. He will reveal his will to us because we are a willing soldier reporting for duty. We're not going to be playing around in the world as a civilian. We're a soldier, and we have orders from our commander in chief, and he will reveal his will to us. He also goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have two different molds that we have a choice of which mold do we want to be poured into. If you think of yourself like Jell-O, and you pour the Jell-O into a mold, and then you stick the Jell-O into the refrigerator, and, 6 or 8 hours later, the Jell-O that was once liquid has now solidified into the shape of the mold into which it was poured. So we have two different molds. One mold is the mold of Jesus Christ and his mind, his thoughts, his plans, his will, his ways. The other mold is the mold of the world. And so our mind needs to be renewed. Why? Because our mind is subjected to so much propaganda and ideas and thoughts of the world. Every time we're on the internet, every time we're on social media, every time we watch the news, every time that we're on Facebook or Twitter or other social media, we're picking up all kinds of strands and threads of somebody else's thoughts, their influence, their worldview, and it can begin to taint us and to corrupt us and to twist us and to bend us into a different mold, into the mold of the world. But instead, every time we're in the Word of God, we're picking up the mold of Jesus Christ, his mold, his will, his ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when our mind has been polluted and been in the world, we need to have our mind renewed and come into alignment with the mind and the thoughts of Christ. And so here's the question. How much time do you spend each day on a screen in front of a computer or on your phone looking at the news and social media? And how much time do you spend each day in the Word of God or in worship music or in prayer? The world or Jesus Christ and his ways and his word? Let us have our mind renewed to the mind of Christ, to the ways of Christ, to the word of Christ. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Vish Mareka Yayeh Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Yisa Adonai, Panav Ilecha, Vayasein Lecha, Lecha, Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.